When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, this is Ryan Nugent Hopkins from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on 630 CHED.
Bumps. There's a new punch on the block in the National Hockey League. The Edmonton Oilers, by name, the Oilers have won the Stanley Cup.
All right, yeah, there it is. The Bob Cole Stanley Cup call from 1984. Great stuff. Quick update on the Cougar Peyton Collision scoreboard. Panthers 4-2 over the Lightning. 6.5 left in the third. Early third period. Hurricanes leading the Islanders 3-2. Both teams in the lead in those games, trying to go up 3-0 in their best of seven series. The Magic beat the Cavaliers 121-83 in the NBA. Cavs still lead the series 2-1. 76ers leading the Knicks 98-85 late. So it looks like the Sixers will cut the Knicks series lead to 2-1. All right, so Kelly Rudy told the story about watching the broadcast of the Easter Epic in the summer of 1987, a few weeks after he played in it, and hearing Bob Cole call that game. So the question I put out, and we gave it to the first three people who texted in right answers, who was the referee in that game? It was Andy Van Helmont, of course. Mm-hmm. He seemed to ref every big game in that era. Who won, Kellen?
Congrats to Tom, Adam, and Dale. They all have Can-Dam t-shirts heading or waiting here at the station for them to come by and pick up.
So, all right, right on. Andy Van Helmont, as we look back on the great life and career of Bob Cole, and no better person to do that with than one of my personal favorite play-by-play guys. He calls the Elks games here on 630 CHED. Of course, used to be a member of the Oilers broadcast crew as well. It's my friend Morley Scott. Morley, how are you doing?
I'm good, Reed. How are you?
I am doing very well. Thanks for checking. I realized after we booked you that you might be on holidays, so I apologize if we're taking you away from something fun or like ice cream or something.
No, that's okay. I'm just sitting in a hotel in Jasper, so okay. we're making our way home. So we had a nice dinner and we're watching a little hockey. So it's never an interruption to talk to you.
Okay, well, thanks for hopping on. And I was thinking it's like we played those 1997. Highlights off the top of the Cujo saving the Marchand goal, and you would have been on radio for that, and Bob doing TV. So, you clearly crossed paths with Bob Cole a lot over the course of your career.
Yeah, for sure. I did in the playoff run, especially obviously 2006 when the Oilers went to the Stanley Cup final. Yeah, and he was, he was around on Saturday nights all the time too. And I was lucky enough to have a few conversations with him now and then and shake his hand once, and even got a souvenir one time when we were in Vancouver doing a game. I was talking with Dave Moyer, was doing the stats on Hockey Night in Canada, and in the booth in Vancouver, there's a wall beside me, and on the other side of the wall was the TV broadcast, which was Bob Cole and I'm assuming Harry Neal at that point or someone else. And anyway, I was talking to the stats guy, Dave Moyer, in between periods and tell him, how Bob Cole has meant so much to me. He's the soundtrack to hockey, right? First as a fan and now as another broadcaster, getting a chance to listen to him and be around him. And I said, I'm almost nervous to talk to him. This was before I had really met him. And Dave said, well, I'll introduce you. And I said, well, that'd be great. So whenever you can do it. He goes, yeah, we'll do it next time we got time. And this was like, I think, in the second intermission. So we didn't really have time that night. So Rod and I are doing the post-game show. And the TV guys have to walk past us. So we're doing the post-game show. And I felt a hand on my shoulder. And I turn around, and it's Bob Cole. And he winked at me and handed me his game lineup card. And he had signed it and autographed it for me. And so I still have that in my office at home. And it's different. I mean, a lot of guys have their different systems, but Bob Cole did his lineup on a half of a piece of cardboard from when you get your shirts dry cleaned. He would cut those in half and he would write his line combinations on there and his lineup notes on there and couple little things he'd scratch in that he wanted to talk about, and that was it. So I've got one of those from an Oiler Canuck game in Vancouver, and he's autographed it. So it's a great keepsake for me.
So it was just a small little chunk of paper, and he had all the players on it?
Yep, he did. Well, one team on either side. And so actually, when I started doing play-by-play, that's what I did. I used like the index cards or the recipe cards or whatever you want to call them. But yeah, he had a half a sheet of cardboard, and it was like clearly one of those ones taken out of when you get your shirts dry cleaned. So it would have been about, I don't know, about 8 inches by 4 inches or whatever. And that's where he wrote his lineup on. And that was all he had in front of him for the entire game.
Really?
You know, some guys do games and they got, he had the game notes and stuff, but they have reams and reams of paper and preparation and everything. And he had that little card, and he made that card and the game come to life just by doing his gig. And I another story, if I can, too, I remember, because he lived in Newfoundland, right? And
yeah,
he traveled, great distances to do the games. He's doing a Saturday night game in Edmonton one time, and the Oilers are playing at home Friday night and at home on Saturday. So I think he came because of the distance a little earlier, and he was at the game on Friday night. And then Saturday morning, we're at practice, and Ron Lowe was the head coach at the time. And Ronnie and I used to always have a little session, and we'd go in the back and talk a little bit about the game and what his plans were and talk about some players and stuff, right? And I'd done something to Ronnie, do you want to meet? Or Ronnie said to me, do you want to meet? And Bob Cole was in the dressing room at that point, and he said, do you guys mind if I tag along? I'm like thinking, yeah, for sure you can tag along. I'm thinking going back there, all right, this is an opportunity. I can learn something here because I'm going to go into a coach's meeting with the great Bob Cole, and I'm going to hear what he does and the kind of questions he asks the coach to get prepared for the game. So we go in the back into the office, and the three of us sit down, and it's a chit chat, how you doing and everything. And then Bob Coles goes, Ronnie, are you using the same lineup as tomorrow as you did last night? And Ron Lowe said, yes, same lineup, Bob. And then Bob Cole said, all right, good luck to you. Thanks very much. And out he went.
That was it.
And that was it. So I didn't learn much from that meeting, but I got a great story. And just the fact, just being around him was cool. It was a pleasure to when I got a chance to talk to him. And I mean, he's just the soundtrack to hockey for me. The cadence in his voice, that accent that came out when he got real excited, and the old babies and the I'll tell you what, Mr. and what's happening or everything is happening. It's just his voice. And in the good games, in the third period, he found a way to take it to the next level all the time, and he never disappointed.
Well, that's the thing, right? And Bryn and I were talking this afternoon, and I was talking with Escott too, and you know this from doing play-by-play and being a broadcaster. You don't always have to say something, and especially when you're doing television. And I feel from today watching him call some of these big moments, the Oilers Cup, I mean, we played that clip. He didn't go on and on. Well, they're a great team, and there's a new bunch on the block, and they're here to stay. That's 8 or 9 words. You conveyed it. Everybody just watched the game. They understand, and it's kind of like he was on the couch or in a room with a group of people saying, I wonder how many they're going to win. I mean, that's really what he's saying. So it's that ability to tell the story and encapsulate everything, but not overwhelm the moment either.
He never talked to hear himself talk like so many broadcasters do, right? He nailed it all the time. He had that one line or that one or two sentences, like you just said, and he nailed it, and it was very memorable. And to me, there's just the sound of his voice, because you talk about on TV, you can, as the old saying on TV goes, when in doubt, lay out, right? And he laid out, and he let the crowd tell the story and the noise tell the story. But he was great on radio, too. He was trained on radio. That's where he started. CBC Radio used to do Hockey Night in Canada games, and that's when he first started. And what a lot of people don't remember, and I listened to the call today, he called the 72 series on radio. And I listened to the call. We're driving today from Vancouver, and I listened to the call on the phone on today of him calling Henderson's game-winning goal in 1972. So he's been around for a long time. And then it was after that series, the next year in 1973, I believe, he came full-time on Hockey Night in Canada on TV at that point. So, yeah, he's done it all. He saw so much in his career, so much. You think about that from that series to the Canadian dynasties, to the Islander dynasty, to the Oilers dynasty. He had a front-row seat for it all.
Yeah, and I got to be honest with you. I probably at some point I knew he did the radio call, but I was like, I didn't remember that. And then it's funny when I listen to it, he uses some of the same language that Hewitt was using. You know, like it's not exactly the same, but it was a reminder too. Like just keep it simple. Like there's like Henderson. He didn't say Henderson made a wild stab for it and fell, but he said something like, yeah, you know, Henderson stabbed at it and fell to the, you know, like it still paints the same picture, still very simple and really captures the moment.
He was such a disciple of Foster Hewitt too, right?
Yeah.
He heard Foster Hewitt and he wanted to do that. And I heard the story told today by Ron McLean about how he always met Bob Cole telling him at one point, he always used to hear Foster Hewitt say, hello, hockey fans in Canada, the U.S. and in Newfoundland. And he said, when he heard him say in Newfoundland, he said that always gave him hope that he could do this someday.
Oh, that's awesome. Do you have a favorite call? I'm kind of putting you on the spot there, but is there one that stands out for you?
How about this one? They're going home.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite. That's the one I remember most. They're going home. I think he followed that up with, they're going home. We stayed in 72 and took it, but they're going home. That's the one that comes to mind right away. The 97 series with Marchand scoring in overtime, that's very memorable too. But I think for me, because I was a kid, I was invested in that, you know, that in those games, and to hear him, you know, say they're going home, right? And I also remember, and I've learned to love Danny Gallivan's call, but I also remember that, you know, Bob Cole was just different. Danny Gallivan was great and had his style, but then Bob Cole came along and it's like, man, this is just different. This is just so much different. You know, the energy, fewer words, just the way his cadence was and the excitement level. And in close games in the third period, nobody beats Bob Cole. And you remember probably the 2017, 18, 19, I think those were the years where he got to do the first or second round of the playoffs. And then you get to the third round and he wouldn't be doing the games anymore. And you think, man, I miss Bob Cole.
Yeah.
I miss Bob Cole calling games. When you got to hear him for a week doing a series and then the next series, and no offense to Chris Cuthbert or Jim Houston or whoever, but man, Bob Cole was something special to listen to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Morley, thanks for your perspective. Great stories. You never told me that story about the little lineup card. So that, I really love that one especially. Hey, enjoy the rest of your time off here, and we'll see you soon, man. I look forward to it.
Thanks. We'll see you next week.
That is 630 Ched's Morley Scott checking in, our play-by-play voice for our Elks games here on 630 Ched. They have games next month, by the way, but with some great perspective and memories of Bob Cole. And as I'm saying this, the Florida Panthers miss two cracks at an empty net. One was blocked and then one slapped wide. So Tampa Bay will make a foray to tie it here with a minute 12 left in the third. Panthers leading at 4-3. We'll let you know what happened and we'll tell you about a local team doing well at a national tournament. It's Inside Sports on Ched.
This is Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins on Edmonton Sports Leader, 630 Ched.
All right, Panthers win at 5-3 over the Lightning. They are up 3-0 in that series. Kellen, I think I have a special connection with the Florida Panthers. Last year, you remember, I was the only one when we did our picks on Oilers Now to pick the Panthers over the Bruins. I picked them in 7 games.
Right.
They won the series. I kept picking them. They kept winning. Then I did pick them over Vegas, but they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Bryn and I did our picks last week on his show, and I picked the Panthers in 4.
Mm-hmm.
They're up 3-0.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I think I am the Panther Whisperer. The Hurricanes lead the Lightning 3-2. Hurricanes lead the Islanders 3-2. Lightning lost to the Panthers. Hurricanes lead the Islanders 3-2 halfway through the third. Okay, really excited to welcome Joel Lenius to the show. He's the head coach of the Edmonton Oilers. Sorry, Joel, I got to remember how to say the name properly. Is it Edmonton Junior Oilers White? Is that how they differentiate the teams?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah,
and this of course is the women's team that's at the SO Cup. Another win today. Tell me about the game.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought we played really well today. Kind of showed the depth of our roster and the relentlessness of our forecheck. And I think we've been really getting better as the tournament's been going on. And kind of a slow start for us in the week. We hadn't played in probably about 4 weeks, but I think we're kind of fully getting into our stride by now. So today was a solid game for us, for sure. Our power play was cooking, and yeah, lots of contributions from everybody in the lineup today.
Okay, so correct me at any point if I give some wrong information, but you're in Vernon, right?
Correct, yeah.
A six-team tournament, round robin. So you've gone 3 wins, an overtime win, and a loss. Yes. Are you first or second? Do you know how that's going to play out yet?
We clinched first in the pool today, so we tied for points with Regina, who's an excellent team, but we have the head-to-head with them because we beat them in overtime in the round robin. So.
Oh, okay. And when is your semifinal, and who are you getting?
Our semifinal will be tomorrow. I don't know what time, and I don't know who we'll be getting. So I think people speaking around the tournament just commenting on how close the standings are and the games have been this week. I don't think they've seen something like that in recent years. So we actually have no idea. So we'll just wait to see how the last game tonight plays out, and that'll have a big effect on who we play tomorrow.
Okay, because there's still a game on the ice, and I think the team in last can still hop up to fourth if I was looking
Absolutely.
Correctly. So
it's
pretty tight. Teams from across the country, what does everybody have to qualify the same way through a league or a district? How did it work?
Yeah, absolutely. We had to win our league at the Alberta FEMA Hockey League, so we were provincial champions with that. And then you go to Pacific, so the winner of BC and us, and then you would qualify. We had an automatic berth this year because the host was actually the BC champion. The Western champion would be the winner of Saskatchewan and Manitoba, and that was Regina, who's an excellent team. Ontario and Quebec each send one team, and then Atlantic sends one team along with the host. So.
All right. I can't remember how long you've been involved with women's hockey, but how deep is it across the country now? Or are we talking dozens of elite teams at this point that could be in this tournament?
Yeah, I think there's hundreds of them. So it's a U18 AAA division. Yeah. I know Ontario has a U22, so a little bit older league, almost like a junior league in Ontario. But it's crazy to see the depth of the rosters and the talent and the young talent, especially that's coming up. And Saskatchewan has some incredible teams, and Ontario as well. And just the depth that's throughout the country, it's impressive.
So, this is a shorter tournament after you go through the season and the league playoffs, and now in the semis, you're down to a game. Tell me how you as a coach, and I guess maybe more importantly the players, handle this. I don't know if you played best of threes or fives or sevens in your league, but it's a different animal, isn't it? I hear that a long time when all of a sudden you get to a one-and-done short tournament like this.
Absolutely. With our provincial champions, it was actually just a tournament, so luckily that kind of prepared us for the week and the preliminary rounds, and then it's just do or die after that. I think the big thing with the girls that helps us a lot too is the tournaments that we have to go to, just to help facilitate their exposure to either NCAA U Sports or ACAC. So we're quite used to tournaments, and I think we've had a lot of success in our tournaments this season, so we do feel prepared in terms of a pressure and kind of intangible standpoint, just going through the grind of tournaments. This one for sure is a lot longer than any of the ones that we've been through this year, but Mandy Schwartz, we were in the finals. We were champions of the Canadian Crown and went to the semifinals of Firestarter in Calgary. So we feel ready and experienced for these tough situations, and I really don't think our group will flinch at the challenge and the pressure that comes with them. And it's pretty crazy because we do have a young team, but just to see how they handle the adversity and the pressure is it's pretty impressive as a coach.
Joel, we're just in the last minute here. Are your players, do you have players who are already committed to their next step, or are they too, is it too early for that to happen? How does that work?
No, we do. I think that's something that we really comment on and pride ourselves on, is just helping the players get to the next level. I think we say to so many people that we would trade the full roster of commitments for an EFSO Cup championship, because we do want our players to move on and continue to play the game and see all the opportunities that come for them as they move on. But all of our graduates, we have eights, are all committed to post-secondary, whether it be NCAA U Sports or ACAC. So for us, that's certainly something that we take a lot of pride in. And I think over the past 5 seasons, we were batting 100% at helping girls get to the next level. So that for us for sure is something that we're probably most proud of.
Okay, well, I guess I'll get up tomorrow morning and check the website to see who you're playing and when, because like you said, that's still up in the air. But we wish you all the best. I mean, it's been an incredible season already, but yeah, go forth this weekend, and hopefully we're talking about a gold medal next week, Joel. Thank you for coming on.
Awesome, Reed. Thank you very much for having us. Appreciate the support.
Joel Lenius, head coach, Edmonton Junior Oilers White, the U18 women's team at the Esso Cup in Vernon, and they did finish first in the round robin out of six teams. Oilers tomorrow, face-off show 4:30. Pardon me, Oilers now 4:30. Face-off show 6:30, game at 8:30, game 3 against the Kings. Thanks for listening.